Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I've just been warned by Mike Ebert, who's going to Telstra, that I'm soon to have no phone connection.
Yeah, that's because you're connected with the other mob.
No, I'm with Telstra.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not with Droptus.
Actually, I'm really pleased he's going to Telstra.
I know, it's good.
Because my complaints are going straight to him.
Straight to him. So look at Mike. He says he's off to another gay wedding. He went to Paul's wedding and it was lovely. Anyway, Tass.
There we go. So we're moving right along. We're actually still sticking with the theme of discrimination. During the course of the week, the Diversity Council of Australia published some new research that found that 2 out of 3 LGBTI employees, conceal their own identity, their sexuality, their gender diversity. That is really quite concerning that in this day and age, 2 out of 3 LGBTI people feel that they actually can't come out in their workplace. To talk with us about this is a Diversity Council of Australia spokesperson, Joe Tilley, who happens to work at the University Technology of Sydney. Good morning, Joe. How are you? Good morning, Joe. Well, we did have Joe. We thought we had Joe. We've lost Joe.
Oh, she's probably ringing on Optus.
I think Paul is actually going to try to find her again.
That statistic is quite worrying, isn't it? That 2 out of 3 younger people don't feel they can come out at work.
I don't think it's just younger people. I think it is all people.
I think it would be all. But you know, that's a really disturbing number.
I didn't expect it to be quite so high.
No.
We've got
Joe back. So,
good morning, Joe. Well, we thought we had Joe again. Paul keeps on shutting her off somehow.
Yeah.
Well, he'll try to get her again for us and we'll see how we go. It is really quite disturbing, Macca, that in this day and age, especially after something like marriage equality, which now says, it's
perfect. Almost a year on.
Well, exactly, almost a year on. It is bizarre, don't you think?
Mm. We're just going to... Paul's going to keep trying. He's going to try on the other phone. As he wrecks the joint. All right.
Hello. You're speechless, Macca.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, I'm out, obviously.
Have you always been out at work, Macca?
I think so. Certainly, I wasn't in my first job, I wasn't. I was the youngest person in the building by about 40 years, and I didn't want to cause masses of heart attacks amongst the staff. Look, we haven't been able to get hold of Joe, but I see people in the workforce in lots of places that are out. But then when I think about it, there is a lot that I know that aren't, and for a whole range of reasons. And it's hard, for us sometimes to understand that, but I do understand it because if the environment isn't friendly, if it's not conducive to being out, if it's not respectful, and this is not confined to particular occupations or industries, Tass.
I think that's absolutely right, Macca.
Whether you're a tradie, whether you're, work at David Jones, whether you, are selling sandals in Target or, you're working in an accountant's office.
Well, I mean, just listening to Paul Zara this morning, he himself did say that coming out and supporting marriage equality was something that he considered at the time to be edgy and risky for his own personal career.
Yeah.
Here we are in 2018 and there are people who you still have to think about. It is a conscious choice that you do make to come out in the workplace.
And look, I wonder about, what really needs to change, and hopefully if we I mean, we all have our own perspective, but, you know, Joe and the Diversity Council have done a lot of work on this, and I'm sure they'll have some idea as to what is going to be the best way to do that. What do you think, Tass? What do you think would be one or two of the things that can happen that make that easier? Is it, you know, the people that you feel are holding you back, you know, from being yourself? You know, do they have, you know?
Well, I think it's a two-way process, yeah. Macker. I think that the employer has a responsibility to put in place policies which are inclusive, that actually make it safe for people to come out at work, mm-hmm. and they are acknowledged for who they are and celebrated for who they are. On the flip side, we know very well that when people actually have to hide who they are and conceal their identity, it makes them absolutely less effective, and it contributes to their mental health outcomes, which obviously won't be positive. So I think that the organisation, the employer, has a responsibility to put in place broad policies which are inclusive, and employees then have a responsibility, I think, to work within that.
And when was the last time you heard anyone ask someone in the workforce, oh, when did you decide you were straight?
No, never.
No, when did you decide you were straight?
Yeah, never.
Yeah.
No, never. Never.
Or, oh, I didn't realise you, you know, what about everyone I met every day said, oh, I didn't realise you were straight?
Hmm. Mm. Or the tea room scuttlebutt style discussion.
Yeah.
Oh, so and so, did you know that so and so is a lesbian, or so and so is gay?
Did you know that John, who works in accounts, is straight?
Mm. No. Well, that's right. It never happens.
Yeah. Well, he's not actually. But look, I don't think we haven't actually been able to get hold of Joe. We may have to switch that to the last segment. We have, because we're actually not going to have that much time, but we'll speak to her for a couple of minutes at least.
If we can get her on.
If we can. Yeah, but we'll give it a go. Here she goes. Are you there, Joe?
Yes.
Fantastic. Look, Tass and I were discussing, we were shocked by the numbers of people in workplaces that don't feel that they can come out. You know, 2/3. That's an extraordinary figure. Were you surprised by it? We were.
I mean, I have to say, I think that obviously some workplaces are better than others. And I reckon, you know, in lots of professional workplaces, it's not too bad. But I guess, you know, if you're working in retail or hospitality or, you know, in kind of, I guess, non-traditional workplaces, I think it could be really difficult for people.
Yeah, and what needs to change, Joe? What does your research informed you about the numbers and, I suppose, the nature of this discrimination? If you had to say what needs to happen for that to change, I know it's, you know, it's not a simple question, but what do you think needs to happen, you know, for that environment, that paradigm to change?
I mean, look, I think that there's a lot that organisations can do, particularly the leaders of organisations, in terms of setting a standard about what's okay in workplaces. You know, so if you've got bosses of, you know, large organisations that say, actually, we want an inclusive workplace, we want people to be able to be themselves at work, I think that makes a really big difference, and I think that that's a really important thing. I mean, you know, you can have, I mean, and lots of workplaces do have pretty good policies around things like discrimination and bullying, but, you know, a lot of it's about the culture of the organisation and the standard that's set by the people who run them.
And I think, you know, when we look at, you know, someone, let's, for example, Alan Joyce, the CEO of Qantas, you know, Dr. Karen Phelps, Paul Zara, who we were recently speaking to, and any number of, you know, Christine Forster, any number of high-profile LGBTIQI people, that, you know, that is, you know, for someone wanting to come out, that has to help that, you know, guess what? I can actually be LGBTI and be successful in my workplace. I mean, we mustn't underestimate the value of that either.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. I mean, those people are not only, I guess, setting a standard, but the role model aspect of it's really important.
And I wanted to talk, you know, you're at University of Technology in Sydney. You know, that universities, you know, are historically very tolerant and open places. you know, and that's an environment, you know, I'd like to think where, you know, people do their degrees, where there is a lot of tolerance and acceptance and understanding, and then they then move into the workforce where they find perhaps it's somewhat different. That's got to be a bit of a challenge.
Oh, yeah, I think it is. And I think a lot of, you know, particularly because, you know, a lot of students are younger as well, they hit the workforce, and I think it is a really rude shock in lots of cases. And, you know, look, universities are really good. They're certainly, you know, by the standards of workplaces, pretty inclusive places. But, you know, I think there's still a way to go even at universities. Like, I think particularly for trans young people and, you know, non-binary young people, I think it's still a bit of a challenge that even great places like universities are kind of starting to having to really grapple with, I think. So, you know, it's not all entirely fixed at the kind of university level, but certainly the workplaces are a bit of a rude shock for a lot of people when they hit them.
It is a rude shock, nearly as rude a shock as Tass reading his messages. sometimes we get messages from people that are less than complimentary. Look, I'm sorry we haven't actually had as much time as we'd like, and we will get you back on at another time. But of these findings, you know, we said we're shocked of the number that didn't feel they could come out at work. In terms of some of the other findings that this research has delivered, were there anything, were there some other
key takeouts?
Key takeouts that made you went, oh my God.
I suppose not in terms of surprise, but I guess that for people, they feel that, you know, coming out once at work is not, you know, you don't do it once and then it's over. It's a kind of ongoing process. And, you know, I mean, every time you get new colleagues or every time you start a new job or, you know, there's a lot of that kind of negotiation that goes on over a really long period of time. You know, it's not just, you don't just do it once and it's all signed, sealed and delivered. And I think, you know, I suppose we do know that a lot of people experience harassment and stuff like that at work still, but, you know, it is disappointing to see just how many people still feel that, you know, that's likely to be the experience if they do come out. You know, and I guess the main takeaway in terms of organisations is if you can do the right thing, you can have an inclusive workplace, you have policies that support all your people to be their whole selves in the workplace. Actually, it's good for your business because you're going to get a lot more out of the people that come to work. You know, their productivity is going to be up. And so for everybody, it's a win-win. And I guess, you know, the more organisations can do that, the better.
Is there any, just before we do wind up, Joe, is there anything that you could recommend to employers or employees that could assist with this process of creating a more inclusive workplace?
Yeah, well, I guess the basic thing is to make sure that your policies are inclusive. So, you know, make sure that you have stuff about bullying and any discrimination and harassment set up and make sure that it protects everybody. Make sure that your policies around things like parental leave are inclusive of people in all kinds of relationships, and your carers leave policies, all of those kinds of things. But I guess more than anything else, you need leadership that says this is the kind of inclusive culture that we want in our organisation.
So you really believe this has got to be driven from the top down?
Well, a bit of both, but I think that because I think that it's important that people who work for organisations are engaged in the culture too, but I think that the leaders of organisations can really set a standard, and I think that's very important.
Great. Thank you very much, Joe. We've run out of time, unfortunately. We need to go to the news break, but we'd love to chat with you again next time in the studio so we don't have these phone problems again.
No worries. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Joe Tilley from the Diversity Council of Australia, also University of Technology, Sydney.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.